Mom, we watched something we weren't supposed to watch. I told them I didn't want to watch it. And then the older boy said, if you don't watch it, you can get out. I got a text message from the mom. And she said, did you hear about what they watched? And I said, no, what was it about? She said, it was about the N-word.
Okay.
Hey folks, welcome to the Kara Banks Show. If you're like me, you've had some snow days this winter. And for kids, it's supposed to be all fun. But I had a viewer reach out where snow day went all wrong for their kids. So let's take a listen.
So it was a snow day. I live on a street that's full of children. It's one of the reasons why we chose that neighborhood and chose that home. And one of my neighbors generously reached out and said, guys, you know, it's a snow day. Everybody's packed in. I'm going to make some chili. I might make some grilled cheeses. Anybody who wants can send their kids down. Now, one of the boys that she has is a friend of my son's, and they frequently do things together. They actually have this really cute small business that they do together, and so they're buddies. My son bonds a lot with her son about feeling that they're some of the smartest kids in the class. Like, he's always like, he and I always finish all the math problems first. So there was a relationship there. I've also had a relationship with the mom and know her pretty well and thought, oh, this would be great. Right across the street from me, is another mom who has children who are the exact same ages as my children. Across the street, there's another 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and they all are in the same classes. And she was on the chain, and she was like, I'm going to send mine down too. And I thought, great, they can all walk together. So the four kids went down. And as far as I knew, they had a great time. I came back home from working that day and asked them how it went. And that's when I first heard some bad news about how it went.
Okay. So how did they share with you what happened?
So the first thing my daughter shared with me in a very nervous tone, she said, Mom, we watched something we weren't supposed to watch, and I'm so sorry. So she was first just embarrassed that she felt like she had watched something that she wasn't supposed to. Mm-hmm. And she thought she was going to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So she said, I'm just telling you now, and I didn't want to watch it, but they made me. And then she said, I said, so what did you say? And she said, well, I told them I didn't want to watch it. And then the older boy said, if you don't watch it, something to the effect of you can get out or you can go home. And she didn't want to leave the play date. It's a snow day. Everybody's at having the grilled cheeses and everybody's at her house. And so she didn't want to get kicked out. So she said, so I stayed. And I said, I totally understand that. And that's, you know, sort of all I thought happened to her. Mm-hmm. I was upset about that because I thought right there was a power dynamic that was inappropriate. The oldest boy at my neighbor's house is 13 and my daughter's 7. And I thought that was an unkind way of him, you know, sharing that he really wanted to watch this show despite what she wanted. And I thought that was unkind, but I thought I'll help her through that. And that was the worst of it. And interestingly enough, shortly thereafter, I got a text message from the mom and she said, can I talk to you about what happened? This was the next day. Can I talk to you about what happened yesterday? You know, and I said, sure, I'm thinking it's about that. And I'm thinking we're going to have a nuanced conversation about like my daughter's feelings and her son. And I thought it was going to be just a pleasant exchange between moms about things that kids go through.
Because how long have you known this mom?
Oh, I've known her 4 years now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you all have a relationship.
Yeah. And so she said, I also talked to the other moms kids who were there. And I thought, what does the other family have to do with this? So I said, sure, give me a call now. So she gave me a call and she said, did you hear about what they watched? And did they tell you what it was about? And I said, no, what was it about? She said, it was about the N-word.
Okay. And just to be clear, your family identifies as Black.
Yes.
This family all are white.
Yes.
And the other kids that were there that day, what was the racial makeup of the group?
They also identified as Black.
So there were four Black kids, your two kids and the kids across the street.
Right.
And then two white kids in the home that invited you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I said, and she was very distraught. And she said, you know, I'm so upset. I'm so sorry. And I said, well, as a busy mom, you were trying to do something nice. You invited all these kids to your house. You're making them food. You're hosting them. You're entertaining them. And your kids did something that, and she said, I told them they're not allowed to watch that. What could you do? How could, you know, and how could the children know that the episode was going to be about the N-word? And she said, yeah, I know. And so I actually thought that it was an accident. I thought it was happenstance. I thought that the children were scrolling through and they happened upon an episode and it happened to be about the N-word. And I thought, what an unfortunate set of circumstances. Nobody could have foreseen this. Oh my goodness, this is, you know, difficult, but, you know, something we could probably work through. I said, I will talk to my children about the impact of having had to watch something that was about the N-word. She said it was about the N-word.
Okay. So your daughter came to you, but your son hadn't mentioned anything to you about it.
No.
Okay.
So then I went to my son and I said, tell me a little bit more, because I didn't want to impose my perceptions about it. So I said, tell me a little bit more about this episode. And that's when he sort of loaded. He's like, it was awful. It was offensive. It was about the N-word. And I said, really? How so? And he said, oh, it was terrible. And he kind of walked me through parts of the episode. He also told me very clearly, and this is the other part that started to raise my level of concern. He said, first of all, the children who introduced the episode said, we want to watch South Park. Apparently, not only my daughter, but apparently my neighbor's son also said, we can't watch that, and asked not to watch it. And he was also told no. That was the first thing that was concerning. The second thing was that before the episode was played, those two children, my son said they chose that episode and they said, we've seen this one. This one's hilarious. And then they said to my son, this might offend you guys, pointing to my child and another one of the children in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that they would choose that episode is where I first began to get very upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the mom, I said, listen, our children share a community. They share a street. They share friends and they share a school. And so this is going to go beyond just resolving their issue. It's going to go to creating a space that's safe, because the last thing I want is for them to continue this conversation on the playground, or in school without insight and help and, you know, something restorative, because the power struggle was also, the power differential was also very concerning to me. And apparently it was a younger child who said, you may find this offensive. So he knew.
So he knew and he was aware.
So...
okay. Lots of questions that come to mind, but I am glad that you reached out, because I think we can think about like how to support your children.
Yes.
Like what that looks like.
Yes.
Because that's the sphere of influence that you can control.
Right.
And then what those other ripple effects are.
My first goal here is just to listen, to understand what happened, and to help this mother think about what's her sphere of influence. Because I get it, from personal experience, when my kids experience harm in particular, I want to say and do all the things. But when it comes to schools and other families that you know you're gonna see over time, you've gotta be strategic. And so I want to help this mom think about what she might want to ask for in this moment, what she might want to work towards long term. So I'm going to dig a little bit more and get more details about not only her kids' experience, but the experience of the other kids in the group.
And then I later learned that another child said, while it was playing, I'm uncomfortable, can we stop watching it?
Mm-hmm.
And was also denied. So all children said, not all, several children said before it played, I don't want to watch this.
Right.
Then they were told, this might offend you and we're going to play it anyway.
Right.
And then during the episode, children are saying, I am uncomfortable. So you're right. I am uncomfortable.
Right.
And then it was still played.
Right.
So I think, you know, there's been so much discussion among the parents so far about like, was it malicious? I think only the children can know that. But whether or not it was doesn't erase the fact that once it was clear that, yes, this is upsetting me, to proceed, that was intentional.
Yeah.
So malicious or not, it was intentional.
Yeah. Well, intent doesn't equal impact. So
right.
We don't have to scrub the minds of these young white children to know their intent.
Right.
But the impact was your kids were uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so this is where when I help parents think about how to talk to their kids about racial incidents, I think we can sometimes pull it out of race and then put it back in the sense that if anyone were doing something and they tell you that they're uncomfortable, you should stop. Kind of like consent, right? If someone's tickling you and you say, I don't want to be touched, I don't want to be tickled, you stop.
Right.
And so in that way, you want your children to know that if something's happened that's making you feel uncomfortable, you have every right. You have the agency to step away.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing I would say in terms of talking to your children about this. Who knows what'll happen in those spheres like school and with their parents that you can't control, but what you can use it as is a kind of a learning moment for your children to be like, that is awful you had to experience that. And I want you to know that if you ever need to leave a space because you feel uncomfortable, I will come get you. We will find a way to get you safe, that you always have the agency to leave.
Right.
That you don't have to stay in the presence of someone who's making you uncomfortable. And that's period.
Yeah, period.
Around race, absolutely not.
Anything. Right?
Around anything.
I just love what you're saying because I think one of the things that was hurting my spirit was my perceived sense of how powerless they felt. And I love that you're giving me some language that I can give them about how to empower yourself in any situation that's like that. Because we all have the talk about, sexual abuse, right?
Right.
We all have that talk.
And someone touches the book, you in a place.
The Tickling Uncle, right?
Right.
Like, right,
right.
We've got all those books. But it's like, what I realize is like, I didn't have a book for this.
Yeah.
And I like that you're saying that you do. You have some insight because it's similar to what I would say around those other kinds of abuse. But it definitely felt abusive in terms of folks saying, I'm uncomfortable with this.
And it continued.
And it continued. Or I don't want to do this. And it continued.
And it happened.
And having children grapple with, I'm on this fun play date. And,
right. I don't want to make people not like me.
I don't want people not like me.
I want to be invited back.
I want to be invited back. I want the grilled cheese. Like all of these things, right?
Yeah, it is. And so I have this arc about raising equity nerds. And so you name it.
Yes.
You name it.
Yes.
And there's power in naming it.
Yes.
And so to name for them what was happening to you was not right. Right? It was racially offensive. And even if it weren't racially offensive, you said you were uncomfortable.
Right.
And to say all that you just said, you probably felt like, can I say something? I want to be friends with them. Should I say something? I want to be invited back.
Right.
And so you can name all of the multiple feelings that they were probably having and say, and in all of that, you felt uncomfortable, you can always leave. I wouldn't have been mad at you if you had come home or if we had needed to find you a way home.
Right.
Like you might think mommy's going to be upset with you because it wasn't the plan. But if you tell, if you're uncomfortable, you get to leave.
Yeah.
So that just naming it for them is important.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. I love that.
So it's name it, educate yourself about the background and what's happening and the different variables and take it from being an individual to a more systemic conversation, which we can talk about. And then naming it, educating yourself, reframing it from being individual to systems, dreaming up a solution. Like what would it have looked like for this to have gone better, right? Like for you to say, this is uncomfortable. And then for your friend to say, well, then we won't watch it, right? How do you potentially elicit that from a friend and help them understand? Or maybe that's not your friend in the same way. Right. And then dream up solutions and then S, start to act. So how do you move? What do you do after this?
Yeah.
And so it can be used in these interactions, but it also can be used when we think about systemic change.
Yes.
In kind of like a climate or a culture in a classroom or at an institution.
Is there language that they can use or things that they can use to assert their point of view and to try to exert some influence on the scenario?
I think there is. And so this idea of raising equity nerds for kids of color is really about giving them agency.
Yes.
Fostering and cultivating this sense of love for themselves.
Yes.
And rejecting the negative narratives that get put on them about who they are.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think as young as they can see that they're being treated differently, they can have language for how they feel like, wait a minute, when I do this, I get sent to time out. But when Johnny does this, he just gets to do it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like we can name that.
Yes.
And they, as young as preschool, they see, the research says that they see the differences in how kids are treated.
Here, I'm really trying to get mom to reframe her kids as victims to having more power over how she can help them make sense and make meaning of what happened. Now, of course, we'd love for them to not have experienced this, but it's really about her realizing that we can name how racism impacts the kids without them feeling like it's their blackness that's the problem or them feeling any sort of shame. So it's more so helping her realize that we have power as parents to help kids understand that, yes, slavery happened, but that interrupted our history as Black people. It doesn't equal our history as Black people. And so it's important for me to help her realize that this is an opportunity to set a foundation for them to understand that really the onus is on those other kids, that it's not on them. The problem isn't that they're Black. The problem is that in this scenario, there were white children who wanted to kind of play with a word and maybe see how they would react. And that's on them. not the young Black children who unfortunately had to experience it.
Like, 'cause your kids experienced something that they shouldn't have had to experience.
Yes. Yeah.
That, full stop.
Yeah.
And so my advice would be to talk to them about it, to process it with them.
Yes.
To name it.
Yes.
And to not over-dramatize
it,
but to just keep listening. Be like, that wasn't okay.
Right.
That was not right for them to put you through that.
Right.
Have you had a conversation with them about the N-word, like their philosophy around it, who should use it, who can't? Because as they get older, they'll develop their own opinions, but it's your time to also get that little lesson if you feel like it's inappropriate. And I will share, I don't know if you've seen Ta-Nehisi Coates. He has a great little snippet on the word.
Oh, great.
And I think I've used it with high schoolers. Oh. So your son's a little younger, but you could watch it and think about how to
adapt
it
myself.
Yeah, you could adapt it. He basically is saying, if I have a pet name for my wife, my partner, if I call my wife a pet name, you don't get to come up and call my wife that pet name. Why do you even want to? You don't have a relationship with her like that.
Right, right.
That's, and so you can have opinions about what I call her. She can have opinions, right. But like, that's not your place.
Right.
And so I have found that example a good one.
Yeah.
Because kids will get their own opinions about who can say it, how, with the hard ER, with the A, you know. But I slipped that in terms of my kids of like, so this is how I see it.
Yes.
Like, I don't use the term. And I think if you are going to use the term, it's about a relationship.
Yes. One of my biggest questions is, what do I say to my kids? Like, where do I begin? Like, what do I say? How do I talk to them about it? And again, like, the reason why I just was like, hey, what happened, is because I don't want to impose my decades of experience with the word on his one decade.
Right. But you can, as his mother, you can give him your perspective.
Yeah.
And so I would have conversations about it, but you know your kids. So like, maybe it needs to be in the car where you're not looking eye to eye to each other, but you're like, just want to check in about how you're feeling when you have maybe 15 minutes or so, like not a quick ride. But, you know, I was thinking about what happened, and I just feel like it's so unfortunate that you had to experience that and you were uncomfortable. And is there anything you want to talk about that's related to that? Like anything coming up at school?
No.
No,
it's fine.
So then you could say, that's totally fine. We don't have to, you know, dig into it. I was thinking about, I just want you to know that for me, like, that word is offensive for these reasons. And, you know, you'll grow up and you'll hear people use it. You did, you know, right? But just to know that from my perspective, it's not a word that we use in the house. It's not a word that we use with each other because it's been a source of so much harm.
Right.
And so you'll grow up and have your own opinions, but I just want you to know where I'm coming from. And I'm still open to talking to you about it, even if you form a different opinion. But I've heard that some kids, white kids in particular, will ask to have a pass if they're your friend to use it. And I just wanted to check in with you.
Well, how do I talk to him about his experience, his feeling about it?
I think you can just ask him.
Yeah.
You could say, I was talking to, insert Zanny's name. She was just sharing with me that you'd mentioned you felt like that show was offensive.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Do you want to talk about it?
Right.
I would just leave it really open.
Okay.
So again, you're naming it. Because sometimes with kids, they don't need to say a ton of words about it, but they feel, they're like, oh, you see me because you just mirrored that it's offensive.
Yes.
And that might be enough for him.
How do they now navigate moving forward? This is a person I want to be friends with. Do I let them go back to their house? How do they interact? They're in the same class. How do they interact in school, on the playground? What if it comes up, you know, what do they say, you know?
Yeah. So I would ask them if they want to, let's stick with your son, because your son's closest to the son, right? I would ask him how he feels about things moving forward, because you could practice what he might say. Because he might say, oh, you know, I don't want to not be his friend, but next time I'm not going to watch it. Right. And then you can practice. Okay. What would you say next time if you go over and he's trying to make you watch something you don't want to watch? And if he's like, I don't know, then you give him some language. I don't want to watch this. And if you make me watch this, I'll just choose to go home. Mm-hmm. Like, so helping him set some boundaries. So I hope that's been helpful.
Very helpful. Very helpful. I also need to figure out how to deal with my anger, and you know, not feeling like the old-fashioned, old-school like, let me go talk to this kid, you know, and trying to maintain myself.
Sometimes kids need to be talked to. But that's where, if you have a relationship with the mom, you could ask. So my real ask, my biggest ask is that the kids not take this into the school.
Right.
Right? My biggest ask.
Right.
Do you feel like your boys can commit to not bringing this up at school?
Right.
Because it's harmed my kids in some ways that, like, we're still working out and we're talking through.
Right.
And if she feels like she can do that, great. And then you might have the ask of, at this point, I don't feel comfortable with them coming back to the house, but I actually would feel better if the kids understood if there was an apology. Like, if you want to ask for the apology, or if you want to offer resources for them to understand the impact, that I think, you know her better than me. You know, I can see some parents saying, my kid doesn't need that. Just like she thought, it's a critically acclaimed episode. So she might not see the need for that. But this ask about let's not have it bleed into school seems really basic and doable and something she could ask of her kids. Okay. And if she won't do that, then you're not going to get the apology for sure.
Right.
But if she will do that, there might be room if you want to ask.
Yeah.
And you know what? You get to be angry. Your kids were harmed. You thought they were safe on a snow day and they weren't.
Right. And I have no idea what the ripple down impact of all this will be. I don't know. I know. I remember the first day something like that happened to me. I was 5 years old and I will never forget that day. Right. It's interesting, though, because when that happened to me, I had such a different sense of self and empowerment. Mm-hmm. And I worry about, you know, whether or not my children have enough of that, you know.
And that's why you keep being that drumbeat of you are enough.
Yeah.
You are worthy.
Yeah.
We are enough as a people.
Yeah.
Right. To try to shore that up.
Yeah.
Because there was a way in which, depending on our environments, how we were raised, we probably had more predominantly Black spaces where we could feel a sense of like cohesiveness and strength.
Right.
And being Black. We weren't the token everywhere all the time.
Right.
But sometimes our kids don't have that experience anymore.
Right. And that brings me to, how do I engage the school and do I need to?
I don't know that you need to at this point.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Unless there's someone that you feel like your kid goes to or could go to that you trust, that if something did come up at school, it would be good to give them a heads up for them to know.
Yeah. And maybe that's what I'm worried about. I'm just worried at school, they're going to be there all intermingling and, you know, bringing things up that they're not prepared to talk about. And I still need to figure out how to talk about it with him based on some of the things you've shared with me. But I was worried about that. So maybe, identifying a person he could talk to if it's coming up.
Right.
So that he feels like he's not cornered.
In an island, an island at school. Yeah. I think the ask from the school is to let them know that this happened. So you did.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask that if there's any targeting that's happening towards your kids because of it, or any teasing that you want to be made aware.
Okay.
Because that's what you want to keep an eye on.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You don't want them further harmed.
Right. That's the thing. And I don't want them further pressured to laugh about it.
Exactly.
Because the idea is that this was funny.
And it wasn't.
Right.
So that, I think that's the ask, is that if it comes up, just to be, so that you know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want there to be further like minimizing of their perspective if they express that it hurt their feelings.
I also wondered if, given how frequently things like this do come up in this community, whether or not schools have an obligation or an opportunity to try to provide some of the education for the Black students around the word and experiencing the word in formal settings like schools, and whether or not there is some need for education for the white students around not using the word, like how this word is experienced, understanding it. Like, has that been done in schools? Is that something that's useful to be done in schools? And is that something that maybe we could offer, you know, to our school?
Yeah. I mean, that has been done in schools, but it's typically bigger than just the N word, right? Like, so I have been called into schools to work when there's a crisis around. Like, there was one school, people asking for a pass and Black students being like, what is this? Why do you all want to say this word? And so it was all about the N-word. But I've worked with schools that are like grade school, primary, elementary, and high school, like throughout. But that work can start, and it doesn't have to just be about the N-word.
Right.
It really is about kind of solidifying racial identity and like honoring the fact that we have different racial and ethnic backgrounds, to celebrate that before you jump to, and let's not treat people on the different on the basis of those things. So a school, I've worked with schools that are being proactive, and the proactive way to address this is to do a two-prong of value difference and then create an environment where students have the language to name if they're being treated unfairly and an environment where they know that we don't treat people unfairly. So it's we value you, and if something happens, let us know.
Right.
And here's what we're doing as an institution to try to make sure that doesn't happen.
Right, right, right.
So
right,
right. To answer your question, there's, you know, crisis intervention, this thing happened.
Right.
But there's also proactive education.
Right.
Just like we proactively educate them about how to be good friends.
Right.
Right? Or like how to engage conflict.
Right, right.
There's curriculum around how to value difference and how to be a more equitable, inclusive,
right,
non-discriminatory environment for each other.
Right. Which they're trying to do. They are trying to do this, I know.
Theoretically.
Yeah, but we definitely need, and as a parent who just went through this, I know that I would very much value and benefit from some of the language and some of the tools that you're talking about, you know, to be empowered so that when this happens, you're sort of ready, because we know it's coming and happening.
Yeah, and there's conversations that not only kids of color need to be able to have with their parents and parents with their kids, but also white parents with their kids. And then also if we think across different identities, right? So I'm a Black woman. I can't separate those two things. Like there's a way in which that's another aspect of my identity, being a woman, right? And so what are the conversations we need to be having around gender, sexual orientation, religion?
Yes.
And so all of these conversations about where I have maybe power or privilege and how I carry that and leverage it for the better, not for the detriment of someone and to make them feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Right. Along with how do I have agency when I'm not feeling like I'm being treated fairly?
Right.
It's a two-pronged conversation. Right. Like, so for your son, thinking about like, this is a place where you, this did not feel good to be targeted because of your race. Right.
Right.
And I also want you to realize, like, as a little, as a young boy, there are going to be times where boys are going to be making fun of girls or telling them that they're not smart or that they can't do math.
Right.
And I want you to remember how it did not feel good when someone treated you poorly. Right. And so how can you then use your power as a boy to be like, girls can do math. Right. What are you talking about? For him to start to see that it's not all a woe is me.
Yes.
This is the way I'm treated poorly.
Right.
That there's some areas where he has some privilege. So how does he leverage that?
Right, 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 right.
Which is why we have different social organizations and, you know, ways to try to socialize them around their racial identity so that they can see themselves reflected.
Right.
So you're doing the right thing. You're doing the right things. It's just a lot to put together inside this really oppressive society we live in that tells us all sorts of negative things about being Black.
Constantly. And you don't realize how much of it is until the kids bring it back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, some of it is just about having those proactive conversations. Like I remember when my kids were that age, I would ask about like what content that they were taking in so much of like, well, tell me how many Black characters are on there.
Me too.
And tell me what are they doing? And like, so to the point where when they would say, I want to watch X, Y, and Z, they'd be like,
yes,
it's one Black boy. And he lives with his grandma and he's a sidekick and he's always making jokes. Know it's not good, mom, but.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. My kids are the same way. I mean, everything from books to movies to songs are like, mom, they're Black. Like the other night, my daughter paged through the book. Mom, see, there are Black characters. See, but I'm like, well, what is she doing?
Right.
What is she doing? What is her role?
Right.
What is her
right. Right. So we do the best we can inside of this.
We do the best we can. Yeah.
I hope it was helpful for you to listen in on this conversation that was part support and part solution oriented. I wanted to have a space where this mom could share her anger, her frustration, her disappointment in what happened in a place that she was hoping and expecting that her kids would be safe. But at the same time, I wanted her to think about how she could use this opportunity, as unfortunate as it is, to set the foundation for her kids to understand that racism is a problem, not their Blackness. And so in that way, she can help them for future experiences that they have so that when this happens, they might come to her, they can have the conversation, and it becomes normal. Not that we want it to be normal that they experiences of discrimination, but we want to normalize having these conversations with our kids. So if you've had an experience where you weren't quite sure how to handle this with your kids, or you weren't quite sure how to handle it and it happened to you, reach out. I love to hear your questions and engage you in navigating these difficult conversations. You can reach out. I'm Dr. Kira Banks across all socials. You can email at stories@raisingequity.org. And thanks for joining us on The Kira Banks Show.